Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 16-08 on this 21st day of February, and February's flying. We are flying into 2016, and there's a lot of stuff going on this year. And we're just talking about Patriot activity. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers and support throughout the week. And weighing in on some of the discussions over at Facebook with those of you who do the social media thing. Just remember OPSEC, be careful of what you post, and just be careful out there, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later tonight in this episode. This is what we are going to title Doom and Gloom, our favorite kind of stuff to talk about, Doom and Gloom. But it's really important, and this falls into the Doom and Gloom category for some folks, but there are really things that we should be addressing. And look, it's a reality for some people when their country is facing crisis. And we are going to face it together as God-fearing patriots, right? Okay, we've got lots of things to get to, so I am going to get right into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding in America. And all 10 books are out, including audio. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Yesterday, if you did not tune in to the American Christian Network Radio Free Readout show, there is a good article posted, and we have linked in the highlights and resources posting for yesterday's show. The Organic Prepper has an article reposted, I think that was from shtfplan.com, about what a government-induced SHTF economic collapse looks like. Talking about Venezuela, they are at the bottom. They are out of food. They have been rationing food and banning prepping, calling it hoarding. It's not the first time we've seen that in history, but there's some articles over there you might be interested in checking out. And isn't it interesting also that in Venezuela right now, they have some of the cheapest gas in the world at 15 cents a gallon. I wonder how cheap our gas would be if it wasn't all taxes. It'd probably be 15 cents per gallon in America if it wasn't, the rest of it wasn't taxes. Justice Scalia who passed away last week, left a huge vacuum in our justice system. Obama is poised to fill that, tilting the scales of American jurisprudence hard to the left, fundamentally transforming America, just as he said he would, and probably just as we deserve. Is Obama the bad guy, or is it how many Americans put him in office, chose him and said, that's our guy, that's our guy, we want to lead us? Well, we pretty much deserve everything we got coming as a nation. The showdown between privacy and national security brings encryption to the forefront in the discussion. Patriots, it's coming. It's going to be banned, or they are going to make it illegal to have any type of encryption that they cannot access through a back door. So right now, while you can, get TrueCrypt, get it downloaded, or VeraCrypt, get it downloaded. Get set up with PGP encryption. And remember, YouTube is your friend. YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in GPG Thunderbird encryption setup. And you'll find several tutorials that'll walk you right through that step. Exchange keys with me so that you have your own keys held closely by you. And the weakness in encryption is the end user. Make sure you have a good, solid, complex password that you can remember. In American Redoubt news, the state agency that licenses law enforcement officers is asking the Oregon Department of Justice to investigate Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer for his involvement with those who occupied the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. This is a witch hunt. The Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, usually known in most states as POST, Peace Officer Standards and Training, states it may made the request after citizens filed complaints. What citizens? BLM agents? Judge Grasty? They don't say. Filed complaints about Palmer's conduct. The left-leaning Oregonian reports the DPSST has released 8 complaints it received, including ones from a 911 manager and the John Day police chief, alleging misconduct. Misconduct. Because he met with those who were holding the wildlife refuge to discuss the constitutional issues about the BLM and other federal government overreach. And this sheriff has had his fill of it in his county. He has seen his constituents, the citizens that he's sworn to protect, be continuously threatened, harassed, and abused by the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service. Firsthand, he knows there is a legitimate concern. There is a legitimate grievance. And the folk from the wildlife refuge were coming out there to teach about the Constitution and the constitutionality of these federal agencies. And because of that, they believe that there was misconduct. Should not have been talking to them. The sheriff, patriot in America, is a rare commodity and should be protected. Remember to lift him up in prayer. And we'll be looking for some tangible ways to support him as well. Letter writing campaigns and so on and so forth. The Coalition of Western States is all over this. In other Redoubt news, Ravalli County meeting over in Hamilton, out of Hamilton, Montana. This actually happened in the story from redoubtnews.com. A public hearing on a proposed letter opposing the settlement of Syrian refugees in Ravalli County and the surrounding area drew hundreds Thursday afternoon. The Ravalli County Commission hosted the meeting, which had to be moved 3 times to accommodate the growing crowd. And by the time the meeting was finished, the commissioners had heard enough to approve a modified version of the letter and expand its circulation to include the governor, Montana's congressional delegation, and Missoula officials. This is great. And what's sad, though, is that the Montana governor, Steve Bullock, said safety is the top priority for him. To make sure the safety of Montanans is the highest priority. However, we will not block Syrian refugees. Is that something? This is what's happening to the minds of American citizens. That European virus that affects the brain is starting to creep into American leadership. And I don't mean in Washington, D.C. level. I mean on every level. Down to the city council, they're losing their minds. So with the back to the Oregon sheriff, I forgot to mention, the Department of Justice has been asked to investigate the case with that sheriff in Oregon. And the licensing agency has warned Palmer that if violations of police standards are found, he could face revocation of his police certification. That got jumbled out of order. Sorry about that. But the sheriff, Glenn Palmer, is an elected official, so this would not remove him from office. However, Oregon state law requires that sheriffs are state certified through their standards and training, a certified police officer. So if you get elected, you have to, within a certain amount of time, you have to go through the academy and become a certified law enforcement officer. And so they're saying that he won't be qualified to run for re-election if he's not certified. So they're looking to strip him of that with the help of the Obama administration. Thanks, Obama. We got a couple of announcements before we take a break, but first, I wanted to mention this. Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz has about a 95% chance on his campaign tour. He will stop in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Had several folks mention this. And here's one letter that I got from a listener was lamenting about how much trouble we are in this country. This is a hardcore patriot who is saying, I can't believe the Christian patriots can't see through Trump's smoke and mirrors, that he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a liberal, a Democrat in sheep's clothing. And he's going to turn, and I believe this too, I believe you will see a totally different side of him. And there is a tyrant there in the making. We might just end up with him. Look, I believe, this is my personal opinion, Trump is living out this reality TV thing that has permeated his life. To him, this is nothing more than a reality TV show. It's a freak show. It's a circus. Now, I've also read a lot of things that make Ted Cruz appear to be very dangerous as well. He is going to be the man to help push the North American Union, according to some things that I've read about his policies, his beliefs, and his the motives that he doesn't really want to be talking about right now. There's several things. And guess what? With all of these candidates, let me tell you something. As a Christian, I believe that we are, let me take you back to last summer. We weren't kidding when we said that was a tectonic shifting in our nation when the Supreme Court ruled inside of 1 week, not to mention all the blood we have on our hands from all the murdered babies in this country that we've so-called legalized. We've legalized what is unlawful. But last summer, the Supreme Court ruled that it is above the law, that it is the highest power in America, even superseding the Constitution. But the nail in the coffin was changing our national policy toward homosexual marriage. When we say that was a tectonic shifting, we crossed the point of no return. As for this nation, we are going down. The Republic is over. So, nothing we can do in Washington, D.C., especially, or not including, who's president, will be irrelevant. God's taking over now. God is going to allow evil people to take the helm. He is removing godly people. God-fearing Justice Scalia swept out of the picture. I personally believe this is the Lord's hand moving, positioning everything for the judgment for this country. Do not get spun up over who's going to be president. When the time comes, it comes down to it, vote your conscience. But don't be looking to Washington, D.C. for any solutions. It's not going to get any worse or any better depending on who's in there. It's going to get worse, or it's going to get worse faster. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between Obama and the other guy, Mitt Romney. It doesn't matter. Mitt Romney was a leftist with a R in front of his name. He forged what was later used to implement, to draft Obamacare. It was Romney Care in Massachusetts. A Republican governor in Massachusetts, that should raise some red flags right there. It doesn't matter. We're going to head toward the destruction of America at this point with one person or faster with another. But it almost, as long as we have somebody who's evil in place, then we are awake. If we have somebody with the R in front of their name, we go back to sleep. So I think we're better off being aware. Both of these people are not good. So what I'm saying is, when I say both of these people, I was referring to Obama and Mitt Romney. So here we are, wringing our hands over who the candidates are, should be or shouldn't be or anything like that. I'll tell you what, whoever's in charge is exactly who God's going to decide to have in there. So you need to focus on the local level. You need to focus remnant. You need to focus on yourselves. You need to focus on your family and then your community. Get involved and engaged in your community because we're going to need you on the other side of this. We're going to need all of the patriots to be able to band together. No, right now, be doing your litmus test to find out who are the patriots, who are the God-fearing patriots to stand behind and join on the other side of this. It's not going to be in Washington, D.C. This continent is going to be fragmented, if history is any indication. Okay, we've got some announcements. The constitutional carry bill builds momentum in Idaho. Yesterday, there was a huge rally. That's not really an announcement. We announced it yesterday because they were live streaming after we got done with the show that was streaming from Readout News. But announcements for things that you can get involved in. There will be a Jordan Page concert and tribute to Lavoie Finicum up in Colville, Washington on February 27th. That's next Saturday. If you're able to make it, that would be great. And we'll see what we can do about getting the audio of that and making that available to you guys. And don't forget to put May 6th on your calendar for the Patriot Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington. And be checking and clicking on the events banner on Radio Free Readout for more information. Sam Culper is going to be one of the speakers on stage giving a workshop on intelligence. I'll be talking a couple different presentations. Representative Matt Shea, and it looks like we lost Chris Ann Hall because of a scheduling conflict. But more on the way. Fox 519, and we'll be back in a minute.
Well, are the banks beginning to run for the exits?
Well, it sure seems that way.
In the past week, I have had several reports from local Wells Fargo employees that they're doing emergency drills with inside the bank. I've also had several large banks, including the former mentioned bank, all trying to sell oil and other types of CLOs for pennies on the dollar, and now the Fed is starting to act very strangely about the status of the economy. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back, and again, thank you to our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Pick up your roasted or unroasted beans today. Now, on to the news. Banks are running for the exit. How do I know? Well, because energy analyst James Wicklin over at Credit Suisse is saying that, quote, while your borrowing base might be upheld, there will be a minimum liquidity requirement before capital can be accessed. What does that mean? He's talking to banks that borrow from them. Now, he also finalized his statement this week with, quote, we are looking to save ourselves now. Now, that memo was sent out this week to investors of Credit Suisse and other banks that borrow from them as well. Wicklin used his platform to show that all banks are posturing and having attempts to preserve calm in the market. But what is really happening below the surface can be summarized in one word, panic. Now, the panic now isn't for just banks who are stuck holding on to energy loans or energy companies who are facing bankruptcy if the oil doesn't rebound. Now, that's because lots and lots of banks loan money on equipment that's out there for oil, but now can't get that back because those companies aren't making any money. Now, this also goes, as far as this warning, for the former employees of those. Curious the average hourly earnings, how they refuse to go up after getting boosts for minimum wage across the country? That's because, according to Credit Suisse, that it's, quote, estimated that 250,000 people have lost their jobs in the oil industry in the last 18 months. Do you still think that we are gaining jobs in America? No, we are not. This is the beginning of another downturn in the economy. Now we will have to face another 250,000 people being added to the throngs of people already out of the workforce. But with 95 million people out of work, any jobs that the government touts has created in the past year have effectively been wiped out as more and more of these oil industry folks are going to get laid off or fired. These folks are going to do whatever it takes to pay the bills. They will take the part-time restaurant jobs. They will take the part-time bartender jobs. But it's not going to be enough. In other world news tonight, the Federal Reserve has finally taken notice that things are starting to look very concerning. In the most recent Fed meeting minutes, the Federal Reserve policymakers debated the outlook for interest rates last month and expressed concern that the fall of the commodity prices and the rout in the financial markets increasingly posed risk to the U.S. economy. Here is their official statement from their websites. Quote, "Participants judge that the overall implications of these developments for the outlook of domestic economic activity was unclear, but they agreed that uncertainty had increased." And that was according to the meeting minutes of the Fed's Open Market Committee that took place January 26th and 27th. As a final thought on this, quote, "Many of these developments increasing the downsides of risk to outlook." A lot of fancy speak there, everyone. Basically, it means the Fed is very, very concerned. Now, the policymakers who projected in December that they'd raise interest rates four times this year are now grappling with the fallout of market turbulence all around. And this is couched out over the economic outlook globally. Fed Chair Janet Yellen suggested in the congressional testimony last week that the central bank could delay its plans for tighter policy to assess how the economy reacts to the current headwinds. I'm going to tell you this. There are no headwinds. Fellow patriots, QE is going to raise its ugly head again. They're running out of ammo. This time, when the economy constricts, all they're going to do is print more money and pump up the balloon. Now, what else can they do? Bonds are down. Collateralized loans are about to blow up. And now they can't even raise the Fed fund rates to offset their cash flow. Folks, things are going to get very, very close to going sideways again. Are you ready? And I'm going to ask that question again. Are you ready? Have you got your plan in place? How about your team? Is that moving along? Have you diversified your holdings and your finances? Some things to think about as we head into another week. Stay focused, fellow patriots and preppers. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Welcome back to segment two. At the Voice of the American Readout, my email contact is johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. And this segment is brought to you by Katie Armor. And they have soft body armor now, as well as the plates, front and back and sides. It includes shipping on everything, the prices that you see there. As an American Readout-based company, go to Katie Armor, C-A-T-I Armor, or click on the banner on the website. It'll take you right on through. But don't forget to use the coupon code John Jacob to get your discount when you place your order with them. All right. There is an event coming up. I already officially announced it last fall, but I'm reiterating Cascadia Rising. That is a massive multi-agency disaster preparedness drill oriented around a major earthquake scenario along the West Coast. Now, someone sent me a couple of links to a Coeur d'Alene Press article out of Idaho where they're already talking about this. And why is this important? Because this is what we are orienting T-Rex around this year. Mark your calendars. June 7th through the 10th. And I'm going to confirm that. Yes, that is during the week, but that is going to lead us into T-Rex 2016 that weekend. So it'll be 12th and 13th. Right? Yes. Now, I am going to be putting together a planning committee to help with this T-Rex exercise. This week, I am going to be putting together a video as an introduction to T-Rex, like I did last year. But this is going to be integrated with another exercise. Let me read just a little bit to you. It's been building up pressure for 316 years, but scientists only discovered the earthquake potential of the Cascadia Subduction Zone, or also known as CSZ. You're going to hear that more in the future here at Radio Free Readout. They just discovered this 30 years ago. What they found is alarming. This June, a consortium of emergency management agencies from four Pacific Northwest states and Canada will coordinate a four-day emergency management exercise called Cascadia Rising 2016. Federal agencies will join state and local agencies, including some in North Idaho, to prepare for the aftermath of perhaps one of the most complex disaster scenarios that will eventually impact the Pacific Northwest. The threat of an M9, magnitude 9, Cascadia subduction zone earthquake is very real, said Bill Steele, seismology lab coordinator at the University of Washington. He says these earthquakes have reoccurred every 200 to 1,000 years over the past 10,000 years, with an average reoccurrence rate of one every 500 years. So they are saying that we are overdue for real. They're saying that the pressure is building, and this could lead to a major, major devastating earthquake. The subduction zone has been locked for more than 300 years, and when, not if, it slips, scientists believe it could result in another M9 earthquake and tsunami that will cause massive destruction to coastal communities along the subduction zone. So this is what they're planning for. There's another article that somebody wrote called Be Prepared North Idaho. Now, there's this guy who's writing a special article to the press who wants to help people become more prepared. And he's involved directly in this planning for this disaster training exercise. A disaster of epic proportions is heading our way sometime in the perhaps not so distant future. Therefore, a simulation of epic proportions will be held June 7th through the 10th to prepare for a possible magnitude 9.0 earthquake, which scientists tell us is overdue to devastate the northwestern coastal areas. And Kootenai County Office of Emergency Management will be involved along with Region 10 of FEMA, authorities from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and British Columbia, along with 38 counties, tribal nations, many other city and local agencies, the military, and volunteer agencies. The simulation project is called Cascadia Rising because it is planned around the Cascadia subduction zone that could unleash ground shaking to at least 5 minutes, a tsunami wave of 20 to 80 feet high with multiple waves, and the likelihood of many severe aftershocks. So, let me go a little further. To get a sense of what is projected by computer modeling, they did a summary statement, about 140 pages, which I have, in the Cascadia Rising exercise scenario document. They're saying 50% to 100%, with an average of 74.75% of the following items will be damaged beyond repair along the coast. Roads, bridges, seaports, electrical power, fire stations, natural gas, hospitals, schools, wastewater systems, communication systems, not to mention airports, rail, water sources, dams, public safety buildings, police headquarters. Now what's missing here? This report does not include estimates of residential and commercial buildings. But the bottom line is, this could be absolutely horrible. They're also estimating 1.1 million people and 1.3 million people for Washington and Oregon, respectively, with no way to go north or south. They're all going to be clamoring to head east, inland. So this is also oriented toward handling a massive refugee problem for those affected, like people that were getting out of New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit. We are going to practice alongside, parallel to this, But we are really going to go into that weekend with T-Rex 2014. But by that time, through signals intelligence and intercept, we should be able to have enough information, sit reps and so on, to go into T-Rex with this scenario. But we're going to add another element to this. There is the New Madrid fault line, which is also in Missouri, Tennessee, that whole area over there. Oklahoma has been getting a lot of earthquake activity as of late. And this is another similar, potentially catastrophic earthquake zones, much like the CSZ. So what we are going to do is at some point inject into the scenario that one let loose as well. So this will be a nationwide event with lots of traffic being passed. But why do we have AMRON? Because all of these organizations are oriented toward continuity of government. There's nothing really to serve the citizens. And that's what AMRON's all about. And this guy said, I'll be writing, because the question is, what do I need to do to prepare? And he responds, I'll be writing monthly articles for the press, each will be designed to move you a little further along the way to disaster preparedness. That's cool that this is actually, that people are doing this. He said, watch for information that the Kootenai County Sheriff's Office shares with the media, because he's the public information officer, the event of a disaster. And if you are part of an organization, key in on this. If you are part of an organization that could offer volunteers, you must be identified, trained, and screened ahead of time. And then they have the contact information for getting a hold of this person so you can get identified, trained, and screened ahead of time to be able to volunteer to help your community in a disaster type situation. So being a little more OPSEC conscious, understanding the adversarial relationship that the Department of Homeland Security is attempting to foment between itself and its citizens, especially conservative Christian patriot types, we're reluctant to want to be inventoried by an agency that's going to be partnering with FEMA, although we want to help our communities. So this is this conundrum that we are in. So AMRON will be oriented toward serving the patriot community and citizens with communication, sharing information, gathering information, and so that's what we're going to be doing. So I will give you guys more information on that. Expect more to follow. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of what I left dangling out there last week. I said, Patriots, we need to prepare for war. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Stay right there. Segment 3 coming right up here at Radio Free Readout.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com. Welcome back to Radio for Readout Segment 3, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com to learn how you can get strategically relocated to the American Readout if you've got your sights set on the northern part of the Idaho Panhandle. Now, last week I said, let's prepare for war. We need to prepare for war. Looking at the signs on the wall compared to, objectively, looking at the indicators of unrest and instability in a government, look, and there's more to it than that, but prepare for war. What does that mean? Are you just calling people to go to war? Are you saying, everybody grab your guns? Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can prepare for war. There's old, there's young. Those that are fit to fight, and that those that are not. We also face many threats. We're concerned about the attitude of our government toward the American citizens today, especially those who, as they fundamentally transform America, those of us who want to hold tightly to our heritage, those Christian fundamentals American heritage was built on, freedom, liberty, scripture, our Christian heritage, all of these things are threatening to this new system. And this is why they've been demonizing, marginalizing, and even criminalizing over the past several years with increased intensity and tempo. But we could be facing, because we are a nation under judgment now, and what happened when the people turned their backs from the government policy all the way down to the lowest level of the citizen? Because there's always a remnant, right, that's faithful to God. But by and large, as a country, when they do this, what happened to that country? Their government oppressed the people? And they had a civil war to fight off this oppressive government? No. What happened when they were judged is they were turned over by their enemies, an invading force. So is it possible we could have an Israel-Judah moment where Israel snatched away, but because of Judah's faithfulness, they were able to remain a little bit longer? And of course, they still blew it, and they still turned back to go against God and rejected him and went down the same dumb path that Israel went down, and they got taken into captivity too. The Assyrians came along. So the Babylonians came, they snatched up Israel. They go into bondage. That's a great wake-up call for Judah, right? God protected us, took them. Hey, this is a sign. We're on the right track. Well, let's just start worshiping false idols again and start doing all kinds of stuff that God doesn't approve of. This could be an opportunity. We could find our nation invaded. So when we say prepare for war, it takes me back to George Washington's speech when he spoke to the Senate and the House of Representatives on January 8th, 1790. He said, "Among the many interesting objects which I will engage your attention, that of providing for the common defense will merit particular regard. To be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace." A free people ought not only be armed, but disciplined, to which end a uniform and well-digested plan is requisite. And their safety and interest require that they should promote such manufactories as tend to render them independent on others for essential, particularly for military supplies. Isn't that something? So, by preparing for war, you are preserving peace. This is a very godly man. I believe George Washington was a true Christian leader. Amazing man. So for the common defense, to be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving peace. I believe that one of the things holding back the ambitions of some people who have seized power in our government and stolen positions through deception is the thing that holds them back is the fact that we are so heavily armed. It makes them think twice, which was the whole point. But I also want to remind you that we are in a spiritual war. And I also want to remind you that we are up against an adversary. Let's say our own government decided to go Nazi on us and start rounding up Christians and sending them off to death camps. We're up against an adversary that's numerically, technologically, in all ways superior. But Hezekiah was faced with the same thing. And I'm going to post a link to this. This is a Sunday school, child's Sunday school lesson. It boils it down so we can get the point. It talks about King Hezekiah when he was threatened by a superior enemy. I'm going to come and I'm going to wipe you out. And Hezekiah turned to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, it says, with him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. We have to rely on him. I know there's people out there like, man, I'm a patriot and I'll fight right alongside of you, but, you know, I'm not a Christian. Okay, I get that and I appreciate that. And you know what? There's been a lot of times when the Lord used non-believers for his plan. Southern Sudan, he had Christians fighting right alongside of animists, which are basically like witch doctors and stuff, pagans, against a Muslim adversary. But there's coming a time where you're going to realize that this is a spiritual war. And we have to, as Christians, rely heavily on the Lord if we have any hopes of prevail. I don't want to fight and die just for the sake of fighting and dying. I would like to win. I'm not afraid to die. But if I try to do this under my own power or the power of other men, taking into measure the adversary we're up against, we're guaranteed to lose. We have to turn to the Lord if we want to win. And guess what? I want to win. He trusted God to fight against the king of Assyria. So here's some from this children's Sunday school lesson, which I'm going to post. You can get the PDF of it. Read through this. It's an amazing story that's so applicable for us right now. Here are the main lessons. Keep silent before the enemy. Humble yourselves before God. Seek godly counsel, take your troubles to the Lord, and trust your defender. So, when they did this, check this out. These guys were so heavily outnumbered. When they prayed and turned it over to the Lord, the angel of the Lord came in a night and killed 185,000 Assyrians. And the leader was killed by his sons while he was worshiping his false god. King Hezekiah faced a dangerous, intimidating enemy. He chose to trust God. God defeated the king of Assyria and his army. We too can trust God to rescue us from the enemies we face. Sometimes the Lord will fight battles for us, but many times also we've seen with his people they had to actually go out there and swing their swords. There could come a time when we trust, you know, the battle is the Lord's. But we have to sometimes pick up our sword. A lot of times that's spiritual. Most of the time that's spiritual. This is what you're seeing in our country is spiritual warfare. And I know I'm going preachy here, but you know what? When you've got a whole nation of people who say homosexuality is, that's disgusting and wrong and perverted, and inside of a decade, it is completely opposite, where you have mainstream people, people in government, people in law enforcement, in the justice system, in the corporate business world, in every part of our lives, including the church. We have people saying, it's actually a good thing. It's actually about love, and how can that be wrong? It should be embraced and protected. How did this happen in 10 years? I'll tell you how. It's called spiritual warfare. Only demonic doctrines can influence an entire culture and flip it around like that to completely defy God in actually, most of this has happened just in the last like 3 years, 4 years. There's always been the homosexual movement out there. But I mean, for the momentum, for the victories, for right before our eyes, what we're seeing with transsexual policies sweeping our states across the United States, legislators making it illegal to prevent a man from going into a girl's locker room and undressing in front of them. And we're defending the perverts, and we're persecuting the righteous. So yes, we're in a spiritual war, and sometimes those go into the physical realm. Just like the founding fathers of this country, they had to fight. So how do you prepare for that? We've actually been already talking about that over the last couple of years, a little bit here, a little bit there. Really started to get into it in the coming underground series that I did last summer. But you need to also start preparing physically. And there's a number of different ways that you can do that. Remember, there are three different roles in a resistance. There's the guerrilla or the fighters. Then there's the underground, and then there's the auxiliary. There is something for somebody to do in all ages. If you are not fit to fight, then you need to start planning how you can operate as an auxiliary or underground by being a communications radio operator, a courier, a driver, someone who can sew, someone who can go and take your EMT course and learn medical skills, to work in the intelligence effort. There's so much you'll be able to do, but you need to start planning now and developing these skills, and then asking God, hopefully that God will use you if you want to honor him. Look, what's happened with the Revolutionary War? Well, the British came because they saw the military building up and they had to respond to this threat. Well, the British were coming to disarm the people anyway. So when you're talking about cause and effect, now, it may have sped things up, but after the Boston Massacre, we saw the attitude of the British government and the attitude of the Patriots. The Patriots saw this tyranny rising, intolerable acts taking place before their eyes, and they knew there was only one way that they were ever going to be free, that it was going to continue to get worse unless they confronted the bully. So they started training. And when they started training, the British did what they were already doing, and they were building up, but they increased in tempo. They began to bring more and more troops in, and they finally decided it was time to disarm these vagabonds. And that led us to that moment at Lexington Green and Concord. So a time's coming. We have a new Supreme Court. We will have a new Supreme Court. We have the Lord removing God-fearing people and putting or allowing evil people in there as part of the judgment to our country. There will be a remnant. We might have to be just like the founding fathers. We might have to fight once again and rely on the Lord to do that. But I can assure you, one of the things that's going to happen is they are going to attempt to disarm the people. And it would be great if an angel of the Lord came in and laid waste to all the tyrants that want to harm American citizens. But it may require you to swing your sword. I wish that everybody out there should have the Ranger. You can get them off eBay. You can get them off Amazon. Go to Amazon. We'll put a link up there for you guys to click on through. The Ranger Handbook is a must-have for every American male, at least. But if you're in some type of a leadership type of a position, I know a lot of you guys are just going to check out and you're just going to hide and you're just going to wait for somebody else to build something that looks like America, and then you'll come crawling out. I'm talking about those who actually plan on getting engaged and being part of having a hand in what comes out the other side. You're going to be leaders in certain capacities. There's a book that I think that you need to get, that if you're in any type of a leadership capacity, I don't care if the leader of your family, the leader of your church security, the leader of your local militia, local 3% group, local whatever it is, your community security watch, crime watch, and other leaders. You should have the Combat Leaders Field Guide. It's written by Master Sergeant Jeff Kirkham, U.S. Army Special Forces. It is like the Army Ranger Handbook with a steroid shot. It's excellent, 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 and should be mandatory. And start developing skills that may come into play. But you need to understand some things like the principles of war. Sun Tzu is a good one. He mentions the principles of war, the nine principles of war. The nine principles of war provide general guidance for conducting war and military operations other than war in the strategic, operational, and tactical levels. They do not apply in the same way to every situation. Rather, they summarize the characteristics of successful army operations. This is on page 4 of the Combat Leaders Field Guide. Objective: direct every military operation toward a clearly defined, decisive, and attainable objective. Offensive: seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. Offensive action is the most effective and decisive way to attain a clearly defined common objective. Mass: mass is the act of bringing overwhelming combat power to bear at the decisive place and time. Now, as a resistance element, group of patriots fighting redcoats, mass may not be an option for you. But you may have to, when you do have mass, have to concentrate it in certain places. Economy of force, that's a different block of instruction. Economy of force is the judicious employment and distribution of forces in order to achieve mass elsewhere. Maneuver, place the enemy in a position of disadvantage through flexible application of combat power. Unity of command, security, surprise, and simplicity. Let me come back to unity of command. This is something that we need to pray in, patriots, because there is so much division right now, just like after the Bundy Ranch. There are so many people looking sideways at other patriots and accusing everybody. And this is something where we're seeing all the little squabble, fighting, and crap happening across the patriot community, calling each other cowards because you didn't go, or you did go, it's because you're a plant, and everybody's an agent. And I swear, you watch social media, for every 100 patriots, there are 102 of them are plants, or agents, or operatives, or something. Everybody with ego-driven objectives instead of the mission. This has got to be addressed. There has to be unity of command, and this is a problem the world over. This is a very difficult thing to overcome. That's one of the things that Special Forces is really oriented its doctrine toward, overcoming that type of division, because there's so many influencing factors. But anyway, right now, start building fundamentals, the Combat Leader's Field Guide. The other thing that you should start learning, because we emphasize communications heavily, but is the intelligence effort. A great primer, first of all, there's two sources. One is Sam Culper over at Forward Observer magazine and Guerrilla America. Start reading and saving these articles. Get his book on prepper intelligence. He does I interviewed him yesterday, actually. At the next available opportunity, you need to find at least one, preferably two people, to start working on the intelligence effort of your group, your community. You need to have an intelligence process starting to get put in place and built. That's your S2, SHOP 2, okay, or G2 at the higher level. S2, that's your intelligence. There's a book here that is also a great primer that I think it should be on everyone's bookshelves. It's called The Craft of Intelligence, America's Legendary Spy Master on the Fundamentals of Intelligence Gathering for a Free World. This is by Alan W. Dulles, and excellent book. Actually, I haven't even finished reading it, but there was also one that's highly recommended by others whose opinions and input I value, which is why I have it. So there's books. There's two books to heart. We're running out of time, too, so start preparing yourselves. Pray about the role that you should be finding for yourself. You're going to be a radio operator. You're going to be a support role. You're going to help make leaflets, propaganda, maintain a social media site, or work with a militia. And look, we are faced with, and this is what I was starting to allude to, talk about, oh, going to war against our government. No. We're not at that point. And, you know, our government could turn Nazi on us or Joseph Stalin, start rounding citizens up, and we may be forced to fight. They're not rounding anybody up right now. But that could come. But here's the thing. This is what I was saying. When I say prepare for war, how did God deal with his people when they rebelled against him before? They sent in a foreign or multiple foreign enemies, overruled them, enslaved them, hauled them off, and they took their land over and ruled over them. That's what's in our future, I believe. That's what very well could be in our future. Now, it could be possible that they might want a piece of us in the remnant areas, the American Redoubt, the Appalachian Redoubt, Texas, all these other different conservative pockets. But we might have to fight to keep them, to repel them so that the remnant can be free for a while. It's a possibility. Well, we don't want that opportunity to get away because we didn't prepare for it. So prepare for it. When I say prepare for war, well, we don't know. I'm not defining the enemy at this point. I'm pointing to some potentials. But once again, back to George Washington, one of the most effectual means of preserving peace is to be prepared for war. We'll be back in a minute. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Child Protective Services has a long and sordid history. Now they kidnapped a family's children because they home-birthed their twins. Shortly after the birth, paramedics showed up at the family home and recommended the children go to a hospital for evaluation. The family politely declined, and lo and behold, CPS showed up the next day. In a very rare move, the Attorney General's office then took over the case. This is the same AG who is persecuting Christian business owners for refusing to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. The fact someone is a Christian, home births, breastfeeds, and homeschools their children is not evidence of abuse, it's evidence of love. CPS is out of control, but thank God a courageous commissioner ruled against CPS and these children are going home for Christmas. But let us resolve to never let this happen again. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Like Matt Shea Republic.
Rounding everything out with Works.com, sponsoring segment 4. Thank you guys for being here with us. Thank you for tuning in. Now, go to Works.com, W-E-R-K-Z, and support a Patriot-owned business right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. All right, now, there's some things before we wrap up that I want to definitely get to. OPSEC and egos. We've got some problems in the Patriot community. There's no way that we can overcome this. Once again, Christians, we turn this over to the Lord.
I've seen stuff. Brandon Curtis, 3%. He's a plant. He's an agent.
No, he's not. Brandon Curtis is a patriot. He's not a plant. Anthony Bosworth is a plant, a sophisticated, highly skilled operative. Nope, he's not. He is a patriot. There is so much disinformation and people being accused. I can't even keep it straight. These guys are not plants. They're not operatives. They're not agents. They're patriots. And there are some people that are just ripping on each other over egos, territorialism, people not acting like Christians. How can I say they're not acting like Christians? Because I know that there's people being accused of being plants or agents, and they're not. So the person accusing them is not acting like a Christian, because I know it to be untrue. So if they're saying something, perpetuating something that is untrue, well, that's not Christian-like. Well, it's his word against his. Well, no, but see, I know. When you know the truth, you can confidently say, this person's not acting like a Christian should by maligning this person over here. Let me tell you, you know what's coming from this, where all this is coming from? Social media will be the death of the patriots. And if I were the adversary, I would key in on that and exploit it. And they are. They're driving wedges between people, planting little seeds of doubt and suspicion, because people are so active on social media. Great way to share information, little poems and things like that, whatever. But it's disastrous. And because people don't understand OPSEC, social media created all the rope for the patriots to hang themselves. In the 31-page indictment against those with the Bundy case, the majority of what they used was evidence gathered from social media against those who posted information about themselves that incriminated themselves. Now, you know you have the right not to do that, right? So you can exercise that right not to incriminate yourself. But the problem is you have grunts out there violating OPSEC. Pictures, statements, views, videos, and everything else that's incriminating because they're ignorant. Now, the media, the left-wing mainstream media, are contacting patriots to get statements from them, to interview them. And they can't help themselves but to blab away because, I don't know, they feel important. Somebody came to me for this information. Answering way above and beyond even the questions asked. They answer the questions, which they shouldn't be talking to lamestream about media about anyway. And then they keep adding information, naming names. And he said, she said, and pointing. He's from here and that person's from there. Helping the intelligence and prosecutorial apparatus of those that are trying to put patriots behind bars.
Here are the rules for dealing with the slipstream media. First, don't talk to the media without approval from higher authority. Period. If you don't have a higher authority, then zip it. And why not? Go and submit to a higher authority. If you're an individual citizen, don't speak on behalf of another group or any group. If you are not part of a group, but are part of a developing situation like the situation in Burns, Oregon, seek advice about the answers you give. And finally, don't talk to the media. Number two, if you are part of a group, defer all questions to the leadership or the PIO, public information officer. They're the only ones that should be getting in front of media or making any type of a statement at all, period. Seize everybody who's operational and involved. If you're in a militia, if you're in a 3% group, if you're operational, and especially in a security element, you have OPSEC issues there, nobody goes social media. Everything must be approved at the higher authority. If you are part of a leadership element or the PIO for your group, request all questions be submitted in writing before the interview. Seek guidance on how to best answer each question. And I mean guidance from well-grounded, sound, level-headed, intelligent, educated patriots, especially those who are savvy with public information. Answer only the questions asked. Don't add information that wasn't even asked and continue explaining yourself, handing them answers that could harm you or be taken out of context that makes them think to themselves, oh, that's good information. I didn't even think to ask that question, but I'm so glad he volunteered it. If not in written form, then have your answers prepared if this is a verbal public information media release, press release. And this should only be done by leadership after seeking guidance, having your answers prepared, and only one or two people handle that. All others, and anticipate any and all follow-up questions that they may ask and have a response prepared. Don't respond to questions and try to make something up on the fly, which you haven't sought counsel on or have prepared in advance. Simply tell them, I'm not prepared to address that at this time. Number four, if you're caught off guard by media, journalists, reporters, then simply tell them you're not prepared to answer any questions at this time and that you will notify them as soon as you do. Someone comes up with a camera or a microphone and they say, do you mind if we interview? Oh, yeah, I really don't want to. Oh, okay. But they rarely do that. Who's someone's well-trained doesn't ask you if you want to be on camera and or ask you if you want to answer questions. They just come up and start asking you questions. And you go, you stammer and you stumble and you go, and then you try to gather a thought because you don't want to look stupid. So you start answering their question and you try to be generic and they pull you in, they engage you. And this is your problem in the first place, you engage them. And then once they start talking and getting you comfortable and you're actually starting to think a little more clearly and the questions start coming and you start mouthing off in front of the camera, spouting stuff that you shouldn't be saying. But see, you were caught off guard. You want to give a good, intelligent presentation. So you try to fix things as you go or try to make this. Just stop. Don't talk to journalists. Tell them you're not prepared to answer any questions at this time. This goes for all of our patriots in the future. Remember, OPSEC, operational security. Don't give information that could harm you, your associates, or the mission, or the cause. Now, I was talking about this with Mrs. Schmidt, and she found the perfect little Pinterest thing. So this is our OPSEC policy, especially with dealing with the media. There are two rules in life. Remember this. Write this down. There are two rules in life. Number one, don't give out all the information. Here is a letter, before I close, from a listener. He says, I have a question I think many people may have. I am often pegged at work as the preparedness guy, and when I ask people if they have an emergency plan, they say they're coming to my house. I imagine you've probably had similar conversations. Let's imagine the worst case scenario happens. What would you say in order to turn people away who come to you looking for assistance or help and have not heeded your advice. I appreciate all your hard work in producing the weekly podcast. Great job. Thanks again for your time. All right. Thank you for this. Yes, we have. I was smiling to myself because we have seen this many times before. Remember, OPSEC. Why are they pegging you as the guy they are going to come to when a disaster strikes? That is an indicator. That's a red flag that they view you that way. That means you have breached OPSEC. So to answer your question, mention it, preparedness, as a way to feel people out, such as the Cascadia Rising Drill as a conversation starter. Tell them that it got you started thinking. I've been starting to think about this. I read this article. They're talking about having 3 days worth of food and in case there's this disaster, and then gauge their response. It's like, oh, that's stupid. Nothing's going to happen. Right? Walk away. Don't say another word about it. If they turn to you and go, you know, I've actually been thinking about that too, and I think 3 days is BS. We're going to plan for like at least 2 weeks. Well, there you go. Now you can start talking to this guy. If it's well received, tell them you're thinking about maybe a week or two or maybe a month also. That might be a good choice. Gauge their response. Or mention a couple movies that you saw or a book that you read to start the conversation. Man, I saw this thing about this EMP and all the lights went out and everything. I got thinking, man, I only got like 3 days worth of food in my cupboards. I should probably put more up so I have, you know, at least 5 or 6 days. What do you think? Right? Don't use your 30-minute lunch break as a soapbox hour about how our world's going to hell in a handbasket and they'd all better start getting ready. If you're going to be that bold, you'd be better off telling them that Jesus is returning and that they're going to hell if they don't repent. That would actually do them a lot more good. And you. They can come and take your food and supplies and your wife if they find themselves without. But they can't come and take your salvation away. They can only reject it for themselves. So don't expect the same thing when it comes to your preps. Now, how to deal with those who come to you? Step one, minimize the number of those who plan on coming to you and stop talking about it right now. Step two, for the rest who say that they're coming to your place, begin downplaying how prepared you actually are. Tell them it's all actually stored at your in-law's shop 100 miles away, the whole 2 weeks worth. And that is something that's there for you if something major happens. So there won't be anything at your house because you're clearing out the cupboards and refrigerator and heading over the hills and through the woods. Step three, tell those who say that are coming to your place that it wasn't free to you and you have limited resources. So if they plan on that, they need to plan on bringing something of value, like 5 gallons of gasoline for a can of soup, a car battery out of their car, ammunition, lamp oil. It's going to cost something. It costs you and it will cost them. You tell them that, they won't be showing up. Step three, plan to help those you feel led to, but maybe don't tell them about it. Maybe the little old lady who lives across the street and you know she has a hard enough time feeding herself day to day without storing up, but you secretly plan on storing a little bit extra for her and you're going to take her in. But you chose to. This is not socialism. This is Christian charity. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying, you will help these people, right? Or you have to give this stuff to me. No, you're going to give it to who you feel led to. It's your choice. Step four, those who come to you know you've stored up and they've refused to store up. Now, if they didn't know that you stored up, they wouldn't be standing on your doorstep. So if that time comes, have a grocery bag ready to go so you can give it to them. So you're not fumbling around, digging through your storage that they can see, trying to put something together for them. But you need to get rid of them. So have a grocery bag ready to go. Tell them you're running low on everything and that what you have or what you're giving them should be enough to hold them over until they can get to the FEMA relief shelter down at the fairgrounds or wherever. Give them the food with a can of bean soup, a can of olives, 2 top ramens, and 4 bottles of water, and a pack of saltine crackers. There you are, generous, right? And for $2.50, you're getting them off your property. and you're sending them to where they can go stand in line and get soup and tell them that's all you're able to spare. You do want to try to help others as much as you can, but you want to choose. And you don't want somebody using you as their food or any other preparedness resupply point that puts you and your family in harm's way. Hope that helps. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. You have a blessed week, and we will talk soon. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.